So we're thankful for that. All right, we're going to read our whole portion of Scripture today, which is just 10 verses, but we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and that's verses 6 through 16. And we'll have that up on the screen for you if you do not have a Bible. Okay. So hear the word of the Lord. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages and for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Father, thank you for this passage and what it means. May the Spirit of God reveal it to us, to challenge us and encourage us, to help us to trust you and to be thankful that you enabled us to understand something that we could not on our own. And so thrill us with your very words today. In Christ's name, amen. True wisdom, only revealed by the Spirit of God. You know, people are always trying to discover who they are. Who am I? I've got to go find myself. Many people define themselves who they are by how much money they have, by their material possessions, by things others can see, the size of their house, the brand of their car, the type of clothes they wear, the jewelry they wear. Some people judge themselves by who they are by their abilities, accomplishments academically. Their whole life is wrapped up in their intellectual brain. Their accomplishments musically, their popularity, their fame, their looks. And we've all heard stories of especially sports figures who, once they retired, just about wanted to take their own life because they were no longer being cheered. No longer being the hero, no longer being clapped for, and people following their every move. In God's view, what matters the most in relationship to who you are is in terms of the cross. The cross of Christ is the determining factor of who a person really is. And no one can avoid this, no matter where a person seeks to find the who they are. The truth is that God sees everyone based on the cross, who you are. A person can be the greatest, the most accomplished, written down in history books, forever revered. Pictures are painted of him and they're in libraries and museums and admired by the world. But what God sees, the who you really are, is related only to the cross. That is all that truly matters with God. And the scripture we just read gave us two categories that you are in one of these today, and so is everybody on the planet. You're either natural, you do not have the Spirit of God, or you are spiritual, you have the Spirit of God. And in our next passage, Paul begins to talk about wisdom. Now, he dogged on it the last couple of messages because that was a human wisdom which elevated humans and brought glory to humans. And he's sharing with us today is that only God's Spirit can reveal true wisdom to any person. And that true wisdom is to understand what God has revealed in the cross. God's remedy for man's fallenness. And so that's where he is going to end up today, continuing this whole talk about human wisdom compared to God's wisdom. Now remember, we know this is in the world, but what was going on, it was invading the church. And that was the main problem. So just 3 points today. The first one is simply the impossibility of man and the revelation of the Spirit. Notice verse 6. Among the mature, we do impart a wisdom, although it's not like the wisdom that you've been teaching in this age and the rulers of the age teach, and those rulers are doomed to simply pass away. There is a message of wisdom, and this message of wisdom related to God's revelation of the cross and man's only way to be saved is God's wisdom. And notice he said in verse 6, he's teaching this to the mature. Now, many have taught through the years, that this whole passage is teaching that there is a deeper level of spirituality that only a few get to, only a few arrive in. Paul is not talking about that at all. In fact, there's a little bit of element to that. If you study the Word, if your heart is tender to the Word, if you confess your sin and you examine your life, you do grow in the Lord. The Bible commands us to grow in the Lord. But the context here is not spiritual growth. Paul does use that word mature, teleos, in many, many passages to talk about spiritual growth. But it doesn't fit his argument here. The mature in verse 6 are Christians, complete, perfect in Christ. That's how this is used in this passage here, which would include you today. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are there in verse 6. And he says, we have imparted to you, those believers at Corinth, and any believer that reads this, true wisdom. It is a wisdom that the rulers of this age do not know and they cannot know. There's an earthly wisdom that fills the air. It dominates the majority of everybody's thoughts all over the world, on radio, on TV, in publications that you might read, in articles that you might read. This wisdom runs away from the cross. And he says here it's held by the powerful who rule, the rulers of this age. The rulers of this age, no doubt, are referring to chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the one who's wise, the scribe, the debater of this age? Where are these people that are spouting these truths in the church that are not true at all? Where are they? They are doomed to pass away. So why are you, church, going away from God's wisdom, the cross, and spouting a teaching that is pulling people away from the cross that God is going to destroy? Why are you doing that? Why are you following the wise ones of this age? And in fact, look at the rest of verse 6. They're doomed to pass away. Why are you following people who are going to pass away and the teaching that is going to pass away? You know, it's something to watch people who spout worldly ideas. And we see them on the news and we see them in the world, and they stand up with such arrogance and such pride, and most of the time putting down biblical standards and biblical truths and things that God has said in His Word from the very beginning. And you ever notice the arrogance that they have? And they look down on other people, and you're just a buffoon. You're just a fool. Exactly what Paul is saying. And you watch those people, and you know that what you're speaking is just empty. It's foolish. And you are coming to nothing. But remember, Paul wasn't so concerned about the world. He was concerned about it's happening in the church. It's creeping into the church. And I've shared this a million times on Christmas Eve when I used to go to the church Kelly and her family went 2 years ago. Beautiful service, just beautifully decorated. Handbell choir, the choir was awesome, the music was awesome, it was packed in the balcony and everywhere, and every time that preacher would get to the cross, he simply go, he'd go the other way. Never once would he mention the reason why God was sent. But boy, they sure had a big crowd, and they sure had beautiful music, and they sure had beautiful decorations. It's creeping into the church. Where now many churches, all they teach are political things and social justice. It's not wrong to that's not what he's talking about here. He's simply saying that, notice the rest of verse 7, it was secret and hidden wisdom of God, but God decreed this before the ages for our glory. It is a mystery. A mystery is just something that God did not fully reveal until later. It was determined before the ages for God's chosen who receive His wisdom. It's always been the message of the cross. All the way from Genesis through the Scriptures, we have the cross detailed in part, but then detailed fully when Jesus came. So he's telling this church, why leave the cross? Why leave the gospel? We imparted to you this wonderful wisdom of God that He determined before the ages began. That's called predestination in Scripture, by the way. Many people hate that doctrine, but it's all over the Scripture. One author said, what God determined before the ages had been worked out in the present age. So what God determined way back before He ever created the earth is now being worked out today, which is being brought to its conclusion as the final glorious age has dawned and is awaiting its consummation. That's for our glory. And isn't it interesting, the very ones who were trying to do away with Jesus, who crucified Him, were simply carrying out God's will. And they had no idea. That's called predestination. Now look at verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood this. None of the wise men and these people that you're following that are pulling you away from what I taught, Paul said, none of those understood this. And here's the proof why they didn't understand it. If they had understood it, they would have never killed Jesus. There's the proof. They would have never crucified the Lord of glory. It is supernaturally revealed by God, and they didn't get it. Look at verse 9. It is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear, nor heart of man imagine, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things, and by the way, that's sort of some quotes in the Old Testament that Paul merged together. No eye has ever seen these mysteries, no ears heard them, no heart of man has even imagined the love of God in the cross, God's remedy for fallen man, that God actually prepared for those who love Him, for those He will call to Him. These things, and here's the key word, God has revealed to us. The impossibility of man, the revelation of the Spirit. These wonderful truths that no man can see, no ear can hear, no one can understand, the ones you are following have rejected and they've turned my church into anything but the cross of Christ. God did something supernatural and He revealed it to us through His Spirit. The only way anyone can ever understand the gospel and the cross is if the Spirit of God supernaturally reveals it to them. All others see it as foolishness. Ah, it's a waste of time. That's just old-fashioned. That's foolish. So God's wisdom can only be known by God's people. Why? Because they have the Spirit. Now he goes on with the argument. The second impossibility of man, the impossibility of man, but the qualification of the Spirit. What gives the Holy Spirit the right and the power and the ability to be able to know what God the Father's plan was and then be able to take that and to change human beings. Let me ask you a question. What would your life be like if all your hidden thoughts were made known? If we had a little TV screen up here connected to our brain that God put up there, and every thought that entered our memory and our brain, whatever, was displayed on that TV screen. Can you imagine? We'd be in World War 800 by now, wouldn't we? What about in your marriage? Hey, how does this look? Oh, it looks wonderful. And all of a sudden, it's like, man, you look pretty bad today, you know? My wife always tells me, how do I look? I look great. Okay, you look good. Can you imagine in your marriage, you know, you make something, you put it there on the table, and I can't fool Kelly. I mean, she can see my face, you know, because sometimes she makes stuff that has different things in it to her physical needs, and I can tell. I can tell if those noodles aren't noodles, they're gluten-free noodles, I can tell. If you take fake cornflakes and put it in a real cornflakes or a Frosted Flakes box, I can tell. And Fruit Loops, I can tell. You can't get it by me very good. But what about in your parenting? What about being a kid and your parents said something, your little TV screen popped up and said, can you imagine that? How about just going out to eat and that waiter or waitress comes up to your table and you get that first glimpse at them? You know, a big old earring in the tongue. And we went the other night and there was a guy and he had, I think they were like black widow spiders or something hanging from his ears, you know. And he was fine. He did a good job. But you might, my friend, I remember once I went through the Wendy's drive-thru down here, which was closed years ago. And I got up there and I am telling you, if you had anything magnetic on it, would have drove me out of the car. I never saw so many doodads just connected to the face, the ears, the nose, the tongue. And it was like, I don't want to eat anymore. I'm not judging. I'm just saying to me, it's just kind of, ugh. Didn't it hurt? Can you imagine if everybody could read our thoughts? How about your boss? If they could read your thoughts. Hey, I need you to, you're a jerk, you know, or whatever. Friendships, how about in the church? How about just walking through Walmart? Well, we would have fights in every aisle, wouldn't we? I can't believe you're doing that. Why did you wear that? Oh, my. But look at this passage here. Verse 10b. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? Nobody. Nobody knows what you're thinking unless you voice it. That's what Paul is saying. Nobody knows and can read minds. I know sometimes on Star Trek, you know, Spock can do that one thing where he can read what's in there. And it's cool to see that on the show sometimes. And nobody can read your mind. And that's his argument, but read on. So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God. No one can get into the mind of our Creator except the Spirit of God. Now, obviously, Jesus, too, because He is God, but this is point here, is the Spirit. So now, the Spirit of God is God, so He is able to get into and know everything about God the Father because He is God. And so that is Paul's point here. If the Spirit of God knows the mind of God, then the Spirit of God can reveal to humans the mind of God, and the mind of God and the mind of Christ is the cross and His remedy for man's fallenness. That is true wisdom. Now, we can have disagreements on other things. Some people, and we'll get to the speaking in tongues and music. God allows us, and hold that, I have my definite opinion about tongues, but there are many areas in life where the church, where there can be differences. But this is not one of them. This is ironclad. This is the mind of the Father given to the mind of the Spirit, who reveals it only to those that love Him, who God calls. And this is the qualification of the Spirit. He is God. Now, anybody can read the Bible and academically know what it says. There are professors in every university today, and people can get a degree in religion, and they can tell you exactly what the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John say, and they can go to the letter of the Corinthians, and they can spout biblical truth. Anybody can believe there was a historical figure named Jesus who was put on the cross, and reports are that he was no longer in that tomb 3 days later. But only those whom the Holy Spirit opens the heart and mind to grasp the Father's message as revealed by the Holy Spirit are people of the Spirit. Big difference. There are millions running around today who believe in a person named Jesus. There are millions of people who believe in a cross, who celebrate Christmas, who celebrate Easter. There are millions and millions of people who believe that, but are not people of the Spirit. And we've seen that, how you know if you're people of the Spirit. But the qualification that erases the impossibility of man is the Spirit knows the mind of God. But notice what Paul says. He goes on. The Spirit searches everything, the depths of God. Verse 12, now we have not received the Spirit of the world. Who's the we? The mature, those who have had their hearts open, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we might understand the things freely given us by God. The freely is the word grace. So we understand the deep things of God, the wisdom of God, that it's the cross and only the cross, by grace freely given us by the Spirit enabling us, because He is the only one qualified. And we, verse 13, impart these in words not taught by human wisdom. We saw that last week in chapter 2, which didn't make Paul famous, where he says, I didn't come with fancy words and rhetoric and perfect messages and a perfect presentation. I came to you in fear, and I came to you in weakness, and I came to you with my inabilities. They didn't like that. That didn't fit in Greek culture. So he says, I'm not using human wisdom, like you're listening to and bringing into the church. But I'm bringing to you words taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. I am simply teaching the meaning of the cross using God's words as imparted to us by the qualified Holy Spirit. So compared God to man, who's the best choice to listen to? Obviously, it's God. Now, the third thing that ties them together is the impossibility of man and the enablement of the Spirit. Verses 14 to 16. So Paul in verse 14 just gives us a summary. The natural person, the person without the Spirit, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. So that implies that the Spirit of God is sharing the things of God, and the Spirit of God is trying to reach people. And we know Satan snatches the seed. We know all of those truths. We can't understand and grasp how that all works with God and predestination and Satan and the seed snatching, and that's just something the Scriptures teach. It's a little bit of a tension, but we believe it, and it's true. And so this natural person can come into a church, can go to a funeral. And I was trying to think this week how many thousands of people, unbelievers, I've preached the gospel to at funerals. I'm not sure. It's a great privilege, but it's several thousand, I'm sure. And Pat came. there's fruit. And I believe Pat was a believer before she met me. But anyway, why don't they understand it? Why doesn't my great ability change a heart? Because I have no ability to change a heart. And so he simply says, the person without the Spirit does not and cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They're just foolishness. That's foolishness. And he is not able to understand them Because they, what's the they? The spiritual truths, the wisdom of God, the cross, God's remedy for fallen man, and that's the main context here. Those truths are spiritually discerned. Those truths are discerned spiritually. What does that mean? Only by those who have the Spirit. Which again proves that God has to open your heart before you can call on Him and be saved. And that's just how it works. So it is the enablement of the Holy Spirit that overcomes the impossibility of the natural man, the man, the woman, the teenager, the child, who does not have the Spirit of God. Now, I just saw this yesterday, and I thought, oh, I copied it, and then I put it in my notes. And this little statement sounds so good, and it's so wrong. I remember years ago, whenever these little bumper sticker statements come up, I would usually say to a certain person in a church I was in, "That I don't think that's right. That's not biblical." And so then I was presented one of these bumper sticker statements, you know, that seems so good, and I was just kind of pausing, and the person said to me, "You're trying to figure out if it's biblical or not." And I said, "Yes, I am." So I thought, hey, that's pretty good. So listen to this. It sounds great. Here is the quote that I saw. It said, "Best quote I've heard today. As a parent, it's my priority to help you get into heaven, not Harvard." Now, when I first read that, hey, well, that's good. Yeah, you want your children to be saved, and that's more important than going to Harvard. And I read it again, and as a parent, it's my priority to help you get into heaven. Now, I like the sentiment of that. Sure, parents want their children to be born again. I like that. There's nothing wrong with the sentiment behind it. There's nothing wrong with the desire to want your children saved. That's awesome. And I know we all say things sometimes and use words that maybe we don't think through thoroughly, but think about this a second. As a parent, it's my priority to help you get into heaven. What have we seen already in these few verses? Impossibility for man. No parent can help their children get into heaven. It is an absolute impossibility. Only the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God and can impress that on a child, a teenager, anybody, and give them life. Now, that doesn't mean that we live like the devil in our house, right? Sure, you share the gospel. You live the gospel. You bring them to church and you expose them to the gospel and you let them know that you needed the gospel. Yes, 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 yes. But you and I cannot help our children or anybody to be saved. It is absolutely impossible. And I'm sure I've said stuff that if I thought it through, well, maybe that wasn't quite right. But I think we need to, that's what Paul's saying. They are only discerned. The natural person cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. And we'll apply that in the conclusion a little bit deeper. They're only discerned by the Spirit. The only way somebody can discern the meaning of the cross, what it means to you, is if the Holy Spirit of God reveals it and enables that person to discover it. I looked up a list of the greatest discoveries of all time. And this was just the order. I went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I went to 11. The first one, electricity. Now, this is just a list by some scientist or whatever. That's pretty good. In 1821, electricity. Penicillin in 1928. The internet. And it's funny, there was no date on the internet. I think Al Gore invented that, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have any idea, you know, who. But you think about the internet, it's pretty fascinating. I mean, who puts all that stuff on there? It's amazing. I mean, I can type in Caesar Augustus. And, I mean, I've got every university and every dictionary and encyclopedia, and I can cross-reference to make sure we've got a good. It's amazing. You can type in NCAA scores from yesterday. Boom, they're right there. That's an amazing discovery. telephone in 1875. Now, I don't know about you, but it still fascinates me. To me, that's fascinating, that I could pick up a phone and talk to somebody in Greece or China. I just find that. And how about before today's technology with fiber optics, when it would get to a copper cable and it would just buzz, I guess? I'm showing my ignorance, but that's amazing. I find that. Then they would lay cables in the ocean. That's fascinating. That's great discovery. Medical imaging, that's 5 or 6. Medical imaging, ultrasound, x-ray. If doctors didn't have medical imaging, they can't see the tumor. They can't see the mass. They can't see that you have a pelican growing inside you or whatever it might be. That's an amazing discovery. Now, number 11 was evolution. Isn't that amazing? Man's list of the greatest inventions, number 11 was an invention or a discovery that left God out. And that kind of fits what Paul says, right? And that was 1859. So let's see. 16 years later, there was a telephone to call and tell everybody about evolution, right? So that was 1859. So here are all these amazing discoveries, minus that one, that people discovered. Really amazing. Airplanes fascinate me. I know how it works, but it absolutely, many things fascinate us. But Paul says, the natural man lacks the one thing to enable them to discover the meaning of God's remedy for their fallenness, and that's the foolish cross, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. It is impossible for man to discover it on their own. They need the Holy Spirit. Quick look at verse 15. The spiritual person judges all things. Now that doesn't mean that the man or woman with the Spirit, a saved person, understands everything about everything. The context here is the wisdom of God, the cross, the gospel, and what it means, and the resurrection. He understands that. But he himself, in the context, can be judged by no one. Who is that? The wise of this age, those that don't have the Spirit of God. Paul seems to mean that the person of the Spirit, through the Spirit, grasps spiritual truths, especially the wisdom of God, which is seen in the cross, the only rescue for fallen man, but foolishness to the natural man. That's simply what that means. And the last part of verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? We do have the mind of Christ. That's why I think the first mature is not talking about growing, it's talking about all Christians, because he flat out says, we believers, whether you're kind of drifting away to this man-made wisdom, you have been given the mind of Christ. And how often do people view themselves as experts and criticize Christians? We're backward. We're fools. You give your money to a church. You do this. You believe in hell. You believe in heaven. You believe in Christ rose from the dead. Yes. Yes, yes. And they look at you like a fool. And somebody said, what person without the Spirit can match wits with the Lord and try to teach him? Verse 16. Who's going to instruct God? You're listening to all these people who are spouting all these ideas that are pulling you away from the cross, that's taking power away from the cross because you're going away from the real power. They're going to teach God the Creator? I hope at this time the Corinthian church is kind of getting convicted a little bit. A tragedy for the church when we leave the cross. All right, three quick conclusions. Three quick ones. Remember who you are. In God's eyes, it's all related to the cross. You're going to have $20 in the bank. You're going to have cancer. You can have no talents and abilities whatsoever, and God looks at you related to his son in the cross, and you're his child. Number one, no human in the church is an elite believer. Each one has the Spirit and the mind of Christ. This has been taught for years. that there's an elite group of people who get the deep things of God. That is not what Paul is contrasting and teaching here. If the Spirit has revealed the cross to you today, and you have repented of your sin, and you grasp the meaning of the cross and your fallenness, and that is your only hope, you have the Spirit, you're a person of the Spirit, and you have the mind of Christ. And you and I who have that are called to live in a different world than the one we are living here on earth. Not reserved for these super spiritual people. That's a blessing. We're God's children. We all can have the mind of Christ, and we all can be used for Christ, and we all can live for Him. Secondly, no human wisdom will ever defeat the mind of Christ and instruct the Lord. No matter how brilliant somebody sounds, how intelligent, how popular, no matter how many seats get filled in a church building, we are to never abandon the cross. Because that's God's remedy. That's what the Spirit uses to change people. And many churches never talk about sin and never talk about the cross. And I've shared this 1,000 times. It blows me away when I go to graveside services and these newfangled churches that are growing don't say one word about the cross and not one word about the resurrection and not one word about hope after death. And I'm sitting there in the crowd just going, I can't believe this. What do you teach every Sunday? You see, when you teach that, you upset people. You call people sinners, you make them a little uneasy. But we can't follow human wisdom. No human wisdom will ever take away how God views the who you really are, and that's the cross. Even if it brings suffering, even if it means that we don't pack it out because we've gone away from the cross, and every Sunday all I do is just try to make you feel good and make you feel happy and help you to live a fuller life. The Scriptures have all that, but it all starts at the cross. And the last thing, no human persuasion can give another the Spirit and another person the mind of Christ. Let me ask you, who are you praying for? Children, grandchildren, husband, wife, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, co-workers, friends, neighbors? I could probably think of a whole lot. Who are you praying for? I pray every morning when I'm out running. If for some reason I can just be concentrated and I can pray and I try not to get hit by a car, but not too many cars are out that early. But almost every morning I'll say, Lord, I know I sound like a broken record. And I know you've heard this 100,000 times, that here I go again. And I want to lift up to you and I just start naming the names. Who are you praying for? Who are you desiring to come to the cross of Christ? You and I need to understand that there is nothing we can do to change them. There is no amount of human persuasion, no gimmick, no trick, no manipulation, forcing somebody to get baptized. And I've shared this before, and I've seen parents come and little bitty kids and Got to get him baptized. The preacher baptizes him, and you never see that family again. And now the parents go, phew, we're good with him. He's going to go to heaven. Excuse me? That is not the wisdom of the cross. Baptism is an outward testimony. I have died with Christ. I've raised with him. I'm walking in newness of life. It does not save. Gimmick. Walking an aisle does not save a soul. Emotion does not save a soul. Getting somebody to repeat a prayer after you does not save a soul. You and I have to understand, for those people we're praying for, that we should pray for them and pray that God would give us an opportunity to share the gospel. But we cannot open their heart. We learn that today. It is revealed by the Spirit. And we need to be thankful to know that the Holy Spirit can do that. He can change that person. We preach the cross. We witness the cross. We pray for those we know and love to be saved, but we cannot change them. And that just causes us to trust and trust and trust. Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you that the Holy Spirit has the power to change the heart. He changed our heart, and He can change others. We are humbly grateful, indebted that You opened our heart to see what we on our own could never see and didn't want to see and ran as far away from as we possibly could. The fact that we are hopeless apart from Jesus Christ and the cross. Thank You, Lord, from the depths of our heart that You have saved us. Protect us from ever leaving the cross of Christ, and use us to be firm and bold and strong and courageous no matter what comes our way, to never ever walk away from the wisdom of God, and to never fill this church with garbage, but to always uphold the cross of Christ and what it does for us and others. And we thank You for making us Your own. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Lord, from sorrows deeply cold, when my hope is shaken, torn and ruined from the fall, hear my desperation, for so long I've bled and prayed, God, come to my rescue.